This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
LGBTI spaces that are meant to be welcomed, that are meant to welcome all in our community can be uncomfortable for people of colour. But is it the spaces or is it how we are treating others? Though we are part of one community, there is still separation within another. With white visuals and model dominations, our expressions and promotion, sometimes you can forget the simple fact that queer people of colour face further oppression than are members of the white LGBTI communities. The Informer's Dina Curie spoke to Tyrone, who shares with us his experiences working and experiencing Australian queer spaces and how oppression still continues, even within our marginalised communities.
I think that when I'm moving to Australia, to me, it feels no different than being back home in Madison, Wisconsin. I think that it's very, what do I want to say, segregated in a way. I feel that, especially at the bar that I work at, it seems very, I would say most of my clientele at the bar is like a good like 90% Caucasian men. And I think that it's very hard to intertwine because it seems like you, to get to know people, they kind of see you as a fetish or there has to be some kind of interest in there, but it's just been very difficult. I've noticed with like, and even like going out in public, it's like people kind of, you definitely feel the eyes on you when you walk into a space that is mainly a Caucasian space that it feels like. Even on the train, it just feels like you can just feel the eyes on you, feel people as you walk by. It's just been very interesting since moving here. Because as queer folk, we are segregated against, and we are, you know, people are against us our whole lives from the moment we come out or who we are. But then going into a gay space where it's supposed to be all inclusive and everybody's supposed to love each other and it's supposed to be about happiness and celebration. But then when you really get into the breakdown of, let's say, each separate community, like bear community, leather community, blah, blah, really it's all the same. Because even though everyone tries to be inclusive, there's always people in the group that are not. Such, and usually those people that are not are like somewhere in the committee of such or somewhere in power of there. So I mean, it's definitely it's just very interesting that like even as queer folk, we still treat our own as hetero people treat us. There isn't a day that I'm not talking about it. Even when I go back home to Madison, where I teach queer youth for like a youth leadership camp I do for 3 weeks, I'm always talking about it consistently, and I always get asked questions. Subjects always come up, and especially being an American citizen in a different country with what's happening in my country, it's definitely something that's always brought to my attention.
What do you say to people when you have to constantly keep bringing up your race in queer spaces?
Honestly, it's to a point where I tell people it's not my job to educate you. It is not my purpose in life to sit here and try to tell you everything so that you can attempt to understand, but still at the end of the whole conversation, not understand a thing I'm saying. If you want to be educated, well, I have no problem sharing my experiences with people, but it's when it becomes a consistent thing, and sometimes with the same people. It's like, you know, you can read a book, you can read articles online, you could look at YouTube videos, you could take a college course. There's plenty of things. It's just, it's not colored people's purpose to keep educating people about how it is for us.
Do you think we're in a time now, we're talking about queer people of colour a lot more, we're seeing a lot more exposure to their experiences within our medium, but people still aren't accessing it or grabbing hold of it?
That's a tricky question because in a big way, no, because I think that what happened with the whole pride flag adding on what two other colors, the black and brown, and then it took for the queer community to talk about racism, but it took for such a big thing for people to be offended about, to be like, okay, well, here's a problem, there's racism within the queer community that we need to talk about. It always takes some huge event for people to wake up, and then it's talked about, but it's not talked about enough, and it's only talked about if there's a person of color within that circle. Then it really gets down and dirty with the questions and stuff, but like, it's not talked about how it should be, not openly at least. I think that people are also afraid to ask. I make myself very open when it comes to if you want to ask me questions as well. But I mean, it's still, it makes people are just afraid to ask questions. If you have a question, I will answer it. But if you keep, like, it's like you keep consistently coming back to me, because I've had people that have done that here, it's not my job to keep telling you and keep trying to share everything that happens, because I end up feeling like your token friend or your token like advisor in a sense.
Were you surprised that this is what it was like here in Australia when you came here?
before I moved here, I visited here three months, like a couple summers ago. And some of my friends that had lived here before had told me about their experiences, and they were people of color. And when I got here, it's more of like I wasn't shocked, but there were just some things I was shocked about. And I think just more so in the queer community, I was more shocked about things. Like when you go to some of the bars where they do promotions of like events, they only promote all the posters they have around the bar, all of white men. Like all of them. And it's really frustrating when you have like all these beautiful men of color, and it doesn't just mean black, it means any kind of shade of color around here, and it's just all white men promoted everywhere. People only recognize it when you bring it to their attention.
What could you say to people who are listening about what they can do or to be more aware of what people of color go through in these spaces and how they can change?
I would say pay attention. I would say listen to what's going on in the world, but in the news, even chit-chat that's going in the bars, but then also realize that, as I've said before, and it may sound a little contradictory, that it's not color folks' job to educate you on what's going on in the society of such. Because if the conversations are happening, you just have to pay attention and chime in and have a voice.
A space that celebrates queer people of colour in Australia is the Cocoa Butter Club, celebrating queer performers of colour and giving a voice to the other. Promoting the fact that performers of colour are creating in a multitude of mediums and hold a mirror to productions asking if they are encouraging performances of colour and the messages that their art carries. Danny Weber and Anna tell us about this space, about what this space means to them, and how celebrating people of colour in this way shines an important light on something that is missing.
And something I'm super proud of is to be co-producer of the Cocoa Butter Club, which is a performance night for Indigenous and or people of colour. Anyone is welcome to attend, but only people of colour are performing, and they're allowed to be as political, unapologetic as they want. And if white people attend, that's great, and often they like kind of sit towards the back and listen, and the MCs actually talk lots about anti-racism and the struggles they face. So I've heard from many people who are people of colour, it's the first time they've attended or performed at a space that was that supportive and where they were in the majority. And for many white people, they might find it a bit confronting, but that discomfort is good and they just sit with it, which is amazing.
I recently went to the second ever Cocoa Butter Club night held in Melbourne. That was a pretty excellent experience. I went to the first night as well, and the MCs for the night, one of the MCs was Nayuka Gori, and she was being really, really real about the way that white people were inhabiting the space that night. And, you know, it was a different kind of thing because it was like cabaret seating and stuff. But whenever she got up to speak, she talked about Elijah Dowji and encouraged people to come to the protest and would point things out like, why were there white people sitting on chairs when a bunch of POC people were sitting on the floor? And when the last act was playing, which was Wahe, they invited people of color to come to the front of the stage. And that was like a pretty powerful thing as well. It was amazing because Nayuka is a very funny person, but also would control the crowd in a way where she'd specifically tell people, why are you laughing at that? That's not a joke. Like, if you're uncomfortable, sit with the discomfort. But then again, like, Nayuka shouldn't have to do those things. She shouldn't have to put the labor in.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.